ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। The chapter is titled Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System. Bhathyamano Bimad Bhakto
Bhathyamano Bimad Bhakto
Bhathyamano Bimad Bhakto
Bhathyamano Bimad Bhakto
Vishayer
Ajitendriyaha Vishayer Ajitendriyaha
Vishayer Ajitendriyaha
Vishayer Ajitendriyaha
प्राय प्रागल्भ्य भक्त्या प्राय प्रागल्भया भक्त्या प्राय प्रगल्भया भक्त्या विषयेर नाभिभूयते विषयेर नाभिभूयते बाध्यमानः
Being harassed.
Api, even though,
Mad
Bhaktaha,
my devotee,
Vishaye,
by
the sense objects,
Ajita,
without having conquered,
Indriyaha,
the senses,
Praya,
generally,
Pragalbhaya,
effective and strong,
Bhaktya,
by devotion,
Vishayai,
by sense gratification.
Na,
not.
Abhipuyate,
is defeated.
Translation.
My dear Uddhava, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires. But because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. You can repeat. My dear Uddhava,
if
my devotee has not fully conquered
his senses,
he may be harassed by material desires. But because of his unflinching devotion for me,
he
will not be defeated by sense gratification.
The
purport by servants of Prabhupada. Abhibhuyate indicates falling down into the material world and being defeated by Maya. But even though one's senses are not fully conquered, one who has unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna does not run the risk of being separated from him. The verse Pragalpaya Bhaktya indicates a person who has great devotion for Lord Krishna and not one who desires to commit sinful activities and chant Hare Krishna to avoid the reaction. Because of previous bad habits and immaturity, even a sincere devotee may be harassed by lingering attraction to the bodily concept of life. But his unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna will act. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the following two examples. A great warrior may be struck by the weapon of his enemy, but because of his courage and strength, he is not killed or defeated. He accepts the blow and goes on to victory. Similarly, one may contract a serious disease, but if he takes the proper medicine, he is quickly cured. If those who follow the impersonal system of speculation and austerity deviate even slightly from their path, they fall down. A devotee, however, even though immature, never falls from the path of devotional service. Even if he display occasional weakness, he is still considered a devotee if his devotion to Lord Krishna is very strong. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apichet sudhiracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhireva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, If he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated.
Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dathati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanditam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Badan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabharu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. This verse is very interesting because it's very practically applicable. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna instructs Uddhava regarding the yoga system, previous six verses were glorifying the characteristics of a Nishkinchana devotee of the Lord, who doesn't have any material possessions, who doesn't have any material desires, and he is Akinchana, meaning no material possession, as well as he doesn't have any faith in the material energy of the Lord. Rather, he puts full faith in the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. And he has unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord. So the previous six verses were glorifying a devotee who has pure desires to serve Krishna. So there were verses which were glorifying in a very, very elevated way. It was mentioned, Na Parameshtyam, Na Rasadhipatyam, Na Yogasithir, Na Apunarbhavam Va. That is, such a devotee, such a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, if we offer him the position of Lord Brahma, or give him charge of all the universes, or if he is given all perfection of yoga siddhis, all yoga has many siddhis, if one is given all such siddhis, still he is not ready to accept that offer. Not only that, if he is awarded liberation, or if he is given a chance to get liberation from the cycle of repeated birth and death, that is apunarbhavam, even in that case, such a devotee does not want such position or such rewards. And the sole reason being, he doesn't want to forget Krishna even for a second, even for a moment. And it is said, even for half a moment. He doesn't want to forget Krishna. So he doesn't want to trade forgetfulness of Krishna, or remembrance of Krishna, to any of the positions. So this is the characteristic, this is the glory of such a devotee who has full faith and who is fully fixed and who is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. And if we place ourselves in a position where we were given an option to give a position, and if we were asked, okay, can you forget Krishna for one moment, we would say, first of all, it is hard for us to remember Krishna. Even to remember Krishna while chanting is difficult. It is difficult to remember Krishna while doing devotional service for Krishna. While cutting fruits for Krishna, sometimes, not many times, it is difficult to remember Krishna. While serving, you know, serving prasada maybe at crossroads, it is difficult to serve, remember Krishna. It's very hard. If we think, when can we remember Krishna? That is a difficult part for us. And sometimes even in the altar, even if our consciousness is not that great, even at that time, it is difficult to remember Krishna. So that is our position. So for us, it is pretty much the opposite. That is, remembering Krishna becomes a hard task. However, for a Nishkinchana devotee, for him it is opposite. He doesn't want to forget Krishna even for half a moment. So previous verses glorified very nicely this point. And one prime reason how we forget Krishna, even in devotional service, how we forget Krishna. If we get a wonderful result out of our devotional service, then we become proud. Or at least I become proud, and immediately we think we are the master, we are the controller, I am the enjoyer. So when we think we are the enjoyer, then there is no question of pleasure of Krishna, there is no Krishna in the center or anywhere. Krishna is somewhere else. It can happen, if you are dressing deity, if you nicely dress, if people say so, first position is we accept it as our credit, and then we become puffed up, and then we think I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I have so much of talents, so I have done that. If we give a nice lecture, people say, Prabhu, it's a good lecture. Immediately we think, yes, I know, already I am well versed in Shastra, I know everything. So I just, exercise my abilities to a little degree. So I manifested my glories. So we think that, and then Krishna is gone. If you distribute books, when we read out the score, that's actually a time of test. Because we say, say 20 Mahabhik books or 25 Mahabhik books. So suddenly we become, I have done this. We become proud and we forget Krishna. So for us, for each and every moment, there is a test and there is always a chance to forget Krishna, and we do forget Krishna. So this is a comparison. How a pure devotee, a Nishkinchana devotee acts, and how do we struggle in this regard in this world. So there is a very nice example. Many of you would be knowing this example. That is of Tamalakrishna Maharaj. He said, Srila Prabhupada, that I am becoming a little proud. I think I am very important in this temple. That time, Tamalakrishna Maharaj was the temple commander in America in one of the temples. So Prabhupada gives this very wonderful analogy. He said, there are millions and millions of universes, just like a mustard seed in a bag of mustard seed. So he said, okay, in such a universe, Earth planet is nothing. It's insignificant. And in this Earth planet, one continent, there are many continents, and one continent like America is, that to North America is, it's just one of the continents. And in this continent, there are so many cities. And in one of the cities, there are so many streets. And in one of the streets, there is a temple. That's also a small temple. And in that temple, one devotee is thinking he is big. He is an important person. So he actually brought out this point, that is, we are insignificant. I remember one of the examples His Grace Burjan Prabhu was mentioning in his last visit. He was mentioning one time a devotee wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And in that letter, the devotee was mentioned, I am very insignificant, I am very humble, I am minute. The statements was like positioning oneself in such a low position. But the next line was, however, I have got a big problem. I am facing a big problem. So Prabhupada's immediate answer or the immediate reply of Prabhupada was, just see. Meaning, we say we are insignificant, or it's easy for us to say that we are insignificant, but we consider our problems to be the highest. Or we consider ourselves to be the highest, even though we say that we are the smallest. So this is a big problem. And usually spiritual master, the presence of spiritual master, and the instructions actually resolve this problem. They will actually bring us back to our senses. One example I remember is Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada was so pleased with the efforts of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So, Tamalakrishna Maharaj wanted to give darshan to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in London. So, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj traveled from some other part of Europe just to meet Srila Prabhupada. So he went to London, and first time Tamakrishna Maharaj wanted Bhaktisiddhartha Maharaj to read out the scores, read out, you know, how many books he distributed. The reason being, whenever someone reads the Sankirtan scores of Bhaktisiddhartha Maharaj, Prabhupada used to be so happy. Prabhupada used to be, he said, he is actually empowered to distribute books in communist countries. And that day Prabhupada was happy, and next day when Bhaktisiddhartha Maharaj went, Prabhupada didn't actually mind. He didn't give anything, he didn't actually notice Maharaj's presence. And Prabhupada was acting in a way that he doesn't want to see Bhaktisiddhartha Maharaj. So Tamalakrishna Maharaj understood the situation, and he said, you don't have to read the score or anything, you just go out. So he took Bhaktisiddhartha Maharaj from the presence of Srila Prabhupada to outwards. Then, analyzing the situation, Bhaktisiddhartha Maharaj says, this is actually the real care of my spiritual master. The reason being, he didn't just glorify, rather he actually cut my pride. He actually made sure that I don't get puffed up. Not now, or throughout my life. So he took it as a great instruction. So even the presence, the actions and words of spiritual master can actually cut down our false pride, which is very essential in our devotional service to make some progress. So we were talking about Nishkinjana devotee. One more point I would like to mention about Nishkinjana devotee before actually coming to a devotee as is mentioned in this verse. That is, it was mentioned in the purport of the previous verse that such a devotee, even position or even a situation is given where sense gratification or temptations are present in front of such a devotee. Still, such a pure devotee never succumbs to that temptations. He doesn't. One time I was watching your Ever Well-Wisher video. Every one of you must have watched that video. In that, one of the industrialists, his name is, I noted down, Narendra D. Desai, a chemical industrialist from Bombay. He was mentioning, usually businessmen, they play trick. They do many things to cheat others and to make money. So one of those tricks was to tempt, to find the weakness of a person and try to exploit that weakness. So Narendra Desai was mentioning that he tried to find the weakness of Srila Prabhupada, because he happened to be in touch with Srila Prabhupada, that is long years back. And that time he tried to find out weakness and tried to tempt him in some or the other way. Then the conclusion he presented was, Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, he doesn't have any weakness. He cannot be exploited in any way, because he is a pure devotee, no temptations. No desire for sense gratification whatsoever. So it is interesting how a pure devotee acts. One time, Srila Prabhupada's dear servant, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, he had a pastime in Juhu in Mumbai. It is very interesting because Juhu fight was going on, and it was very fierce and it was very severe. And Mr. Nair, who was the owner of the land and who doesn't want to give that land to the Hare Krishnas, he played a very nasty trick to Giriraj Maharaj. Because Giriraj Maharaj was one of the key person who was fighting for Srila Prabhupada. He was getting instructions from Srila Prabhupada and he was fighting for the land. So one time, Mr. Nair appointed a beautiful prostitute to allure Giriraj Maharaj. So, I don't think Maharaj was a sannyasi that time, he was a brahmachari. And in one position, he had to meet this lady, this prostitute, actually met Giriraj Maharaj, and he actually personally tried to entice him, tried to allure him. And that time, Giriraj Maharaj says, I thought my brahmacharya is finished. My devotional service is finished. I'm going to be completely smashed. This was his first thought. This is finished. This beauty, I'm gone. This was the first. His thought came to his mind. Suddenly, another thought came to his mind. He thought, however, what will happen if this goes wrong? If I happen to be with this lady with this prostitute, what will happen to me? What will Prabhupada think? How sad Prabhupada would be. So when that thought came to his mind, he actually got out of the situation. He was not tempted anymore. By the mercy of his guru, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he actually could get out of the situation. He tells that. So these are the temptations, and this is a gross temptations. Gross temptation. And on other side, there is subtle temptations also. Again, one very nice story with Giriraj Maharaj. He was preaching in South India, in Chennai. And that time it was so difficult to preach in South India, in Chennai. The whole reason being, the Mayavad was very strong, now also it is very strong. So, devotees cannot establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whenever some arguments are provided, there will be 100 other shastras quoting. Okay, this is not the one, you know, that is one, you know, this shastra, this versus that verse. So things were going very difficult. And the whole aim of Giriraj Maharaj and his team was to make as many life members as possible. So they were in this mission, they were going door to door, and they were straight preaching Krishna consciousness and trying to make life members. And it was not working very well, because all the time they will end up in arguments. All the time. So he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He wrote a letter in which Giriraj Maharaj wrote, actually, why do we have to, you know, tell straight, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, our mission is to serve Krishna. We can actually, we don't have to deny, you know, don't criticize so much Mayavad. We will just present, okay, we may say, okay, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we are after worshipping Krishna, and you be a member of the society. We don't have to actually slam Mayavad. We don't have to actually criticize so heavily. And he wrote this letter, and of course he continued what he was doing, and he was expecting the reply from Srila Prabhupada. So at one point he went to a house, and in that house he knocked the door. One person came, and he started discussing philosophy. He started asking, who is the Supreme Lord, you know, why, etc., etc. So Giriraj Maharaj, still he hasn't received the reply from, no sanction from Srila Prabhupada. So he presented Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the argument continued, the discussion continued to such a level, you know, who is Shiva, the position of Shiva, what is impersonal Brahman. So when it came to position of Shiva, he said, no, one cannot just worship Shiva alone, because one has to worship everything in connection to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So it came to the argument, came at to certain point, that is, he rejected. He said, you know, if one just worship, it's an aparat, you know, without recognizing the Supreme Lord, it is an improper way. He completely rejected the whole idea, and he went really heavy on this person. So this person, actually, he actually smiled, and he became pleased, even though he understood, because he had to say that. This is a question. The point was like, if I had to tell the whole truth, then I'm not going to get this person as a life member for his cause. If I tell the truth fully, if I smash, then I am not going to get life member. This was the point. So Giriraj Maharaj, he actually smashed. He told the truth. Smash means he just told the truth. That's it. And that time, instead of this person being aggressive or, you know, closing the door, he actually was pleased. He smiled. And he said, you please come with me. He took Giriraj Maharaj inside the room, and he opened his altar, his puja room, he opened and he showed the deity. And there was Radha and Krishna. And he said, actually, I was actually testing you. I know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. I know the position of Krishna. I know position in connection to all the demigods. But I was testing you. You are a Vaishnava. You are a true Vaishnava. So these are subtle temptations. Sometimes you don't want to, if somebody asks a question, we don't want to tell the truth. It can be told in a palatable way. But at the same time, we have to present the truth in our philosophy, the position of Krishna, anything, or anything regarding Krishna consciousness. So these are subtle temptations sometimes. Oh, do we have to do? And at the same time, Giriraj Maharaj got a reply from Srila Prabhupada. And the reply was, no compromise. One should present as it is. There is no change allowed whatsoever. And he was convinced completely by this fact, by the letter, as well as his own experience. Because Prabhupada was giving not only the instruction, but was giving a direct realization of the same point. Now, moving further, so we explained who doesn't have any temptations or who can resist temptations completely. But all of us are not in the same position. We are not, or at least I am not, Nishkinchana devotee. It is a very far, far away term. It's a very high term. So one may ask, what about me? How about us? How can we deal with the situation? Because we are tempted in so many different ways. So many different ways. If we go to city, we are tempted in different ways. If you accidentally, if you hear some music, we are tempted. If you go to internet, there is a web of Maya. So anywhere and everywhere, there are temptations, there are problems. So how about us? What can we do? So Krishna mercifully presents this verse actually. He actually shows, he actually considers our position. A devotee who is not a pure devotee, who is basically aspiring to be a devotee, yet struggling to be a devotee. To such a person, Krishna is speaking. Krishna is not telling, you know, either you do 100%, not 99.99, you do 100% devotional service, otherwise you get out. Otherwise, no, you know, you cannot practice. No, Krishna is not telling like that. He is actually accommodating those who are aspiring to be a devotee. So that is this verse. So it's actually the compassion of the Supreme Lord. And to understand this, we have to actually take some help from nectar of devotion. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there is a chapter known as the purity of devotional service. So why devotional service is considered pure? We know Krishna is pure. Krishna is all pure. As mentioned in Sri Shobhanishad, two terms are used to describe Krishna. One is Shuddham and the other is Apapa Vidham. If you remember. Shuddham means all pure and Apapa Vidham means prolifactic. So Krishna is pure, meaning Krishna can purify anything and everything. And we have to accept, and nectar devotion says, it is same with devotional service also. For bhakti also can purify anything and everything. And another reason is, bhakti is like, anyone is accessible, anyone can come to the process of devotional service, independent of caste or creed. Doesn't matter white, black, wherever we are from, anyone can access the process of bhakti. So that is one prime characteristics of bhakti. As it is mentioned, if you see, usually if you take top institutions, say India we can say IIT or IIM, or America maybe Stanford or you know Caltech. If you want to get admitted to such an institution, there is a scrutinizingly, they will scrutinizingly check your credibility. There will be some entrance exam or your previous grades, standing, all these things are checked very severely. And they make sure only the cream, only the people in the cream, they can get entrance to such an institution. So people write, you know, GRE or common entrance exam, whatever, or, you know, have nice statement of purpose. Whatever is required is made ready to get accessibility to such an institution. And those who are on a lower level are not provided any access to such an institution. So, usually in the material sense, a material institution provides accessibility, provides admission for those who are on a higher level. And that is considered, you know, credit. It is considered, it is a glory of the institution. At the same time, the process of bhakti, the institution of bhakti is made accessible for anyone and everyone. So bhakti is glorious because it is accessible by everyone. There is no requirement, there is no credit required to enter into the institution of bhakti. So it is said bhakti is pure. It is the purity of devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, it is mentioned, Kirada Hunantra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbhayavana Kasadaya Enyeja Papa Yat Apashraya Ashraya Shuddhyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Nama. That is, it gives a list of different classes of people, different races of people who do not follow the Vedic process. It is given Kiratas, Hunas, Antharas, Yavanas. These are different races who never follows the Vedic principles, who do not follow Veda as such. However, even they have provided accessibility to bhakti. One may say in this list, maybe India is not there. One may say, where is Australia? We can say, you know, Australia is not in the list. But for all those things, there is a clause. You know, exception, you know, we can handle always the exception. So that exception handling is done in this verse by one term. That is, enyacha papa. And those who are addicted to sinful activities. So whoever, whichever races or whichever group of people not mentioned in this verse, we can actually attribute to the last one. That is, enyacha papa. That is, whoever were addicted to sinful activities. Even they can enter into the process of devotional service, to the process of bhakti. So this is the greatness of bhakti. So when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he entered Vrindavan with his parikram team, caste Goswamis received him with stones. Some of them were throwing stones. And they closed all the temples, all the major temples of Vrindavan. The sole reason being, he gave accessibility to old people, to Vaishnavas, to Vaishnavism. And many of them became Brahmana Vaishnavas. They gave sacred thread and they became Brahmana Vaishnavas. And caste Goswamis couldn't tolerate that. And so, they didn't receive him properly. So actually we can see, in our tradition, this casteism was actually completely rejected by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada followed in his footsteps, and we can see Vaishnavas and Brahmanas all around the world. So that is this principle of bhakti. And next, and the most important reason why bhakti is considered pure is, we know that in bhakti, the means and the end is one and the same. That is what we do in the process of devotional service. The nine processes of bhakti, starting from Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishwasa, Smaranam, etc. These processes are, we are continuing these processes even after liberation. Even in the spiritual world, the glorification of the Supreme Lord and hearing is going on. So means and the end are one and the same. And at the same time, for bhakti, the process of devotional service, and if by chance one falls away from the process of devotional service, if one has to come back to devotional service, one doesn't have to do anything else. There is no concept of prayaschitta, there is no concept of atonement. Rather, one has to just take up the process again. It is like if somebody stops chanting, or you know, somebody commits some sinful activity in devotional life, one has to stop the sinful activity and just keep engaging in the process of devotional service. So this is considered one of the main feature of the process of devotional service. It is considered key feature of bhakti. That is, there is no separate prayaschitta. Why? Because the process of bhakti is the highest process. It is the highest purificatory process. So what is the point? Why one needs any other prayaschitta? And even the prayaschitta, other atonement processes, cannot actually burn the root. However, bhakti, it can. It can burn anything and everything, burn to the root. There is a very interesting pastime describing, elaborating this point, actually emphasizing this point, the purity of devotional service. That is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This pastime is of Subuddhi Roy. Subuddhi Roy had a pastime with Mahaprabhu. Subuddhi Roy was a great zamindar. He was a wealthy man, and there was a servant, a Muslim servant to him. And this Muslim servant, he used to serve nicely, but at times he used to steal some of his properties. So he used to chastise him and he used to beat him. Subuddhi Roy used to beat him. But at one point, he was a little bit crooked. The servant was a little bit crooked because that's the reason he was stealing. But by his crooked means, eventually he became Hussain Shah. He became a big Nawab, Hussain Shah of Bengal. So the time has passed. So Subuddhi Roy is still Subuddhi Roy. But the servant has become now Hussain Shah. And Hussain Shah, he appointed Subuddhi Roy as one of his ministers or one of his servants as such. not as a menial servant, but as an advisor kind of thing. Then, one time, Hussain Shah's wife, he saw marks on Hussain Shah's body. So when she saw this mark, she asked Hussain Shah, "How come these marks are there on your body?" Hussain Shah said, "Look, when I was a kid, you know, I did this kind of mistake, so Subhadra punished me." But wife couldn't tolerate. He said, "You had to do one thing. You had to kill Subhadra. This was the punishment you should give." Hussain Shah had some heart. He said, you know, he was a little bit grateful because he corrected. And he had that gratefulness to Subhadra. So he said, "I cannot kill him, but I can give him a suitable punishment." And that suitable punishment was to make him outcast. And how to make him outcast? The procedure is very simple that time. If somebody touches, or somebody, you know, offers something to drink, or somebody even sprinkles some water from an outcast to a person who is a Brahmanical family, he will also become outcast. So Subhadra made the arrangement that Hussain Shah sprinkled some water on Subhadra. So that's enough, that's done. So now onwards, Subhadra has become untouchable. He has become a Muslim. He can't do anything. He can't perform any Vedic rites. He can't teach Vedas, or he can't be even associate with his own family members because he has become outcast. So for the sake of business, he said, "No, I'm leaving this place. I'm going to do some business." He left his family saying that, and he went to Banaras. Once he reached Banaras, he asked the Brahmanas there. He wanted to know, what is the atonement, what is the prayaschitta to solve this problem? Because I have been touched with water sprinkled by this Muslim. So what can I do? Immediately the Brahmanas, they gave a very nice atonement procedure. It was very interesting. They said, "Take some boiling ghee and drink it. In that way, give up the life. That is a suitable atonement." So the solution was very severe in one sense. Extremely severe. Drink the boiling ghee. And he approached some other Brahmanas. So they gave some other solution. So seeing all the solution, he thought there is no point. And he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he explained his situation, how this happened and what is the real solution. Mahaprabhu said, "You straight away you go to Vrindavan and you chant Hare Krishna. So that is the highest atonement. You have to do nothing else." So we can see, just by chanting Hare Krishna, any all these kinds of the so-called problems are solved. Now, particularly in this verse, it is mentioned, if a practicing devotee who has faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he commits some abominable activity, if he commits some sin, then what happens? So, the purport we see, very, very nice two examples given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, a devotee is like a warrior. So in a warrior, in a fight, a warrior marches forwards courageously to fight. But as he goes, he may be attacked. He may be slashed, he may get some wounds. Still, being courageous, such a devotee, such a warrior, goes forward in the fight. So he says, a devotee is like that. He should actually move forward, irrespective of such a fall down. It means, if somebody has fallen down, it doesn't mean he has to stop all the devotional service, but come back and keep going in devotional service. And by the purity of devotional service, it can resolve whatever has gone wrong. And the second nice example Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives is that of a diseased person. If somebody contracts with a disease, one has to administer medicine. And by the effect of treatment, medical treatment, the disease will go away. In the same way, a devotee, by the process of devotional service, whatever sinful activities he has committed, even in the due course of his devotional service, will be completely cleared. So Prabhupada says this verse, which is very, very interesting, and it is apt in this context. That is the 9:30 in Bhagavad Gita. It is Abhiched Su Duracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhav Sadhureva Samantavya Samyak Vyavasito Hisa. That is, even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. And Prabhupada mentioned two terms very clearly. Sadhureva. Sadhureva, he says, Krishna says very emphatically the term Sadhureva. Sadhureva means for sure he has to be considered sadhu. He has to be treated as a devotee, for sure. Even if one accidentally deviates from the path of devotional service. Second, he says Samantavyam. He mentions, otherwise, if one treats, if he derides a devotee for committing a sinful activity, temporarily, if somebody derides such a devotee, he says, one person is actually deviating from the instructions of Krishna. So actually, deriding such a devotee in itself is a crime. That in itself is a sinful activity. So this is the words of Krishna. So Krishna says, Samantavyam, should be treated as a devotee. It happens sometimes, you know, devotees may leave the movement for some time. It doesn't mean that we will appreciate their sinful activity. But the point is that the person shouldn't be treated as abominable. That is very important. Because he will be purified. So here, Prabhupada actually quotes from Narasimha Purana, very nice verse. It is mentioned, Bhagavati cha harav anya cheta bhrishamilopi vireja manushya nahi chasa kulas chabi kaschit timira parabhavat upadi chandra. The meaning is that even one fully engaged in devotional service of the Lord is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities. These activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of the moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. Shouldn't we treat him as abominable? This we can see, this is a compassion. It's a compassion. This verse is actually the compassion of Krishna. Because one may do so many sinful activities, still Krishna is ready to accept such a devotee. Even if one performs sinful activities, at the end, for whatever devotional service he has done, there is no loss or diminution in the path. So Krishna is ready to accept such a devotee, even if he deviates. So actually, in the next verse, that is after Apiche Sudhirajaro, the next verse, Krishna actually explains why he accepts such a devotee, or what happens to a devotee who accidentally deviates from the path of devotional service, if he does something wrong. So it is said, Kshipram Bhavadi Dharmatma. Krishna mentions, soon, Kshipram means very soon, he will become righteous. He will actually come back to the process of devotional service very soon. So he should be accepted. He shouldn't be rejected. Then, Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur actually poses a question in this regard. He says, if he doesn't come back, Kshipram, if he doesn't back to devotional service immediately, if he continues a sinful life, he commits sinful activities throughout his life afterwards, then what? Then Krishna actually speaks the last two lines of the verse, which is very important. So Krishna says, Kaunteya Prajyanahi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. So Krishna says, Arjun, O Kaunteya, you declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. So that is the conclusion. It is said, Krishna actually became a little angry to hear this point. That is, if a devotee, he commits sinful activities and keep doing that, then what? Krishna became a little angry to hear that. Still he says, Kaunteya Prajanyahi Name Bhakta Pranashyadi. My devotee never perishes. So that is a promise. That is a mercy of Krishna. So we can understand this verse actually in this light. That is, Krishna's compassion. Krishna wants to accept everyone. And he is ready to wait. Srila Prabhupada mentions, however, that this verse, this is not a license to commit sinful activity. We shouldn't take, okay, Krishna has mentioned any sinful activity, do, okay, Krishna is ready to accept. So, in the purport, the one interesting statement is that one cannot go on committing sinful activities thinking that I am chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I am chanting Hare, there is an offense against the holy name. That is, doing sinful activities on the strength of the holy names. So one cannot do that. However, Prabhupada very clearly mentioned, by accident, if it happens, then Krishna protects. by accident. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions, it has to be understood that a devotee's life means fight against the illusory energy of the Lord. It is a fight, Prabhupada mentions very clearly. It is a fight. And in fight, there can be some attacks and counterattacks. That's how the fight goes. So, illusory energy definitely is going to attack. There's no doubt about that. However, in that attack, some accident might happen, and in that, Krishna guarantees protection. And from our side, what do we have to do? We have to be very careful about ourselves, because we have to understand, if we are in a war, we have to be vigilant. We should be vigilant. We have to be careful. There is no other go, because otherwise, enemies will take over very easily. The devotee has to be always careful, and one has to sharpen one's intelligence. Only by sharpening one's intelligence, one can resist the temptations, which a pure devotee can very easily give up. Very easily he can resist. But for us to come to that platform, to resist even a slight temptation, we have to actually sharpen our intelligence. Without spiritual intelligence, it is not possible to resist. It's not possible. Because Maya's attack is everywhere. As it is said, padam padam yat vipadam, means everywhere there is Maya's attack. We cannot say here it is not there or there is not there. No, always it is there. So the process of sharpening intelligence is twofold. One is studying Srila Prabhupada's books. Because Srila Prabhupada has invested all his spiritual energy, all his instructions, all his protection in his words, in his instructions. So if we study carefully and if we think about it, as I said, you know, there are three processes in learning. One is first hearing, or first reading and understanding. And second, in the understanding part of understanding, one has to remember, one has to reflect, one has to think what I have read. That is the second stage. Then one can come to the platform of application. If you read and if you don't remember, then there is no question of application as such. So that is very important. Second point, which is very important, that is continuous or constant listening from realized people, realized souls. The devotees who have realized these facts, who are not affected by the material energy, who are already established in the unflinching devotional service to the Supreme Lord, listening from them, listening Bhagavatam, listening Bhagavad Gita, listening the spiritual discourses. So from listening from them, we actually develop spiritual intelligence. And that actually reminds us about the temptations. That actually gives us strength to give away or go away from those temptations. So this is very practical. If you do not do that, we become weak and we become more susceptible to such allurements. So I stop here. I see, is there any comments, questions or corrections in this regard? Yes, Prabhu.
This is the last point you were saying.
Yeah.
I remember a very interesting point. That what really he is asking is, I've turned 60 rounds today. I've been doing that. And I hear Bhagavatam and I've read Bhagavatam also. But when I go out, I still have to, it is still, I still get bombarded with all these thoughts.
Yeah. Can I add one point there? He said, if somebody is struggling, it is actually good. If there is no struggle, means you are already under. It's completely covered. So, struggle is good. Yes, bro.
Well, in the beginning of the class, yeah. You were mentioning about Apuna the power of Dakshana.
Apan, Apanar Bhava, yeah. Yes.
Now, when we look at so Nishkinchana devotees do not reject the concept of liberation. So, how do we understand Kunti Maharaj's verse in this context?
What are you giving? Bhavadava Darshanam, yes, yeah. Na? Oh, okay, that's very interesting. What is the first line of? First line of the. Yeah. Bhavadav Darshanam Yasyad. Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Okay, I can tell my understanding. Even though she's saying, basically what she's saying, Bhavadav Darshanam Yasyad, okay, Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Again and again. Exactly. So, actually, so there it's very interesting because the motivation is very clear. She's not trying to avoid the repeated birth and death. That's not her motivation because Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyad. So, what she wants is Bhavadarshanam. What she wants is your audience, is Krishna. She wants to basically see Krishna. That is her motivation. Her motivation is not avoiding getting out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. So my understanding is that the motivation is clearly different in case of Kunti Maharani. So pure devotee, their motivation is not getting out from the cycle of birth and death, but serving Krishna. So that's what she is doing by remembering Krishna. She is actually serving Krishna. I think. Right? Yeah, that we can see. Even in separation, devotees think about Krishna. You know, their intensity of their devotion increases even in separation. They long to see Krishna because that is their prime characteristics. Longing to see Krishna is a characteristic of a devotee. But at the same time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation or that point, that is, one shouldn't try to see Krishna, don't go to the bushes of Vrindavan. But is that, you know, don't go to the bushes of Vrindavan to see Krishna, but do your service or, you know, do the, perform the instructions of your spiritual master. Is that the exact? So, in our position, we can understand this very clearly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction to a practicing devotee, to a sadhana devotee, is very evident. You know, we don't have to actually think two times because we are not actually qualified. Or if you go to Vrindavan, we will not see Krishna, practically speaking. We may criticize someone, or we may do so many things. So we can visit Dham with associated devotees. That is a different story. However, for ourselves, it's very clear what we have to do. We have to basically follow the instruction of the spiritual master, do the devotional service. In that way, then what is mentioned? If one does that, then one can see Krishna. It's not that it's not mentioned one does not see Krishna. One will see Krishna. So that is actually the blessing. If one follows the instructions of spiritual master, I remember 3 days back, Gangesha Prabhu was giving the class. In the final conclusion point, Prabhu mentioned was, by just following the instruction of the spiritual master and pleasing, one can get the audience of Krishna. One can see Krishna. So. It is never denied, you know, a pure devotee, he doesn't want to see Krishna. Or if Krishna comes in front of him, he says, you know, oh no, I don't want to see you. It's not exactly like that, but actually understand the two, you know, one is particularly for us. And for us also it's not denied, but it will come. That's what I understand. Is it any other? Yes. Yeah.
Yes. To devotional service. And Krishna allows you to do that devotional service. So, you know, in that regard, very nice point was mentioned that, you know, that shows the endless love of Krishna, that he is willing to forgive endlessly, and endlessly letting devotee come back in his service.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting point, because I think, in adding to one point, I was thinking, so in this regard, actually, even for us, it's a very instructive point that if somebody is in devotional service, you know, with us, and if someone leaves, even sometimes it happens, you know, somebody, you know, comes for the program, for someone leaves, or somebody who's fully practicing, still he leaves. We had to actually try to be in touch, or we shouldn't see them as, you know, completely fallen down, abominable. We do that, actually. We have that tendency. Really speaking, we have that tendency to see if somebody, even if someone, you know, comes for the lecture and one day he doesn't come, or in a few weeks he doesn't come, we say, oh no, he's gone. But we have that tendency, strongly we have that tendency. And, you know, to not to care him, or, you know, so we have to actually work on ourselves to somehow or other being in friendly with them and bring them back to the devotional service somehow or other. So even one may not take the process straight away, as that verse says, may not take up straight away, but still, you know, we have to try to be in touch with them, you know, as far as possible, and be in a good relation with them, so that eventually they see Krishna's mercy through the devotees. So actually we have to act upon that, which is very, very important. Yes, Prabhu.
But a devotee, not all devotees stick up with one person as a preacher. Sometimes a devotee, the same message told by somebody else, is more receptive. Initially he might have grown under a particular under the care of somebody, but eventually, maybe because of the attacks of Maya or over familiarity, then the devotee is going away now.
Yeah.
So a system whereby a particular devotee is not confined to a particular Sikha Guru will provide the devotee much more, it will ensure that the devotee doesn't at least go out of the devotee circle. And at least he's given an opportunity to try various Sikha Gurus during the life cycle of his being.
Yeah, that is a very good point. And also, in the practical thing, this may happen eventually. But usually when we are preaching, also it is good to one person, if we are getting a, you know, trying to preach to one person, it's good to be, that person knows a few people. We try to do that, you know. It's a very good point. That is, one person we are trying to preach to, and he is in touch, he knows not just one devotee, but at least two. So that, you know, if one doesn't follow up, or, you know, one doesn't actually, in that case, actually, there is at least somebody else. So in that regard, you know, this, and what you mentioned, it has a more lifespan. What you said is even taking shiksha, and, you know, as growing up, if one is at a, one is taking shiksha from a few people, that is good. Yeah. I think we try to take shiksha from few people. Is it right? You know, when we get in touch with senior devotees, we try to seek their help and seek their advice. Because sometimes, not only Guru may not be in our presence all the time. So that's the reason shiksha becomes relevant and important. So one can take shiksha, one should take shiksha whenever, you know, it's required from the senior devotees, so that it can help us in our day-to-day activities.
I think that's one strength we have in Bengal. 2 days back, somebody was asking me, out of all the temples that you have been to, which temple is the best? And the person asked why, he was explained to me why I not accept that. And then this one thing which comes across in our temple, I have not seen the same system other temples. Of course, there are certain other places, like in India, I've seen one of the temples, but largely abroad, I have not seen this kind of a fabric. Because there, a devotee is only attached to one single program. Here, we have that. So many people who are serving the devotees, so many programs. We have a Vishnu youth program, we have some Vrasta programs also. So a person gets a fair amount of choice. You know, even if a person cannot go for one, if the day is inconvenient or the person is, if he has lost connection with one person, then he has an option. So that system is very good.
Thank you. My only experience is Melbourne, so I can't compare. Yes, Prabhu.
With Krishna's service, does he actually give us the service or do we choose what service we want to do?
Okay, that's a good question.
If he's like a parent, can we go and tell a parent, like, well, you should send me to school and buy these clothes and do this for my life?
Usually, if you work, say, doing Krishna service means we are doing Krishna service in association of the devotees. Is that right? So, senior devotees engage us in devotional service.
Because a lot of the time we choose, like, oh, I'm doing service and I'll just do this. That's my talent. But sometimes there's other things that need to be done.
So, that's the reason even in spiritual world, we do devotional service under a devotee. We are not, it's not, you know, I and, you know, I just straight to serve Krishna, you know, that's it, a straight connection. That is not there. That's not the case. So even here, when we do devotional service, we do devotional service under the guidance of someone. Say senior devotees in the temple, we do devotional service under the guidance of the senior devotees. So usually if you ask what I want to do and what the senior devotee want to do, so there can be, sometimes we can say there is a clash or whatever. But generally the thing is, whatever we want to do, it may not meet all the time. Our demands may not happen all the time. But the senior devotees, they usually see what are our capabilities or our weakness and what is our skill set. Then accordingly they use in Krishna service. So that is actually the standard procedure. That is, spiritual master or senior Vaishnavas, they engage their disciples or junior devotees, seeing their skill, what are their capabilities. Because ultimately the point is, it is easier for us to dedicate what we have in service to Krishna. If we have a particular skill, then it's easier for us to use that skill in service of Krishna. You see that one? Yeah. So it's a combination. We have some nature. Okay, in other words, if you say everyone has their own nature. So many times the services can be suiting one's nature. Then it becomes easier. And sometimes, you know, at times one will have to do which is not really suiting also. That's for Krishna's pleasure. Or many times, don't know. Yes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.